To welcome you here to this probably the most, you know, holy Beit Midrash in certainly in modern history. That how does one start? First of all, you see the dedication to Harry Fischel over there. The behind you, the sukkah in the back. And here, if you can see this picture, and there's other ones close to it, you can see time and place, exactly right here on exactly where you're sitting, standing right here is Rav Kook, his Talmid, Chaver, Rav Charlap on the left, and then in the corner, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Zatzal and Rav Anan Kook, Rav Kook's, Zatzal, Rav Kook's son-in-law, and Rav Yisrael Arieli, whose grandson is the main Magid Shir and Mir, and he was the main Magid Shir here at Beit Harav, is standing over here, and you know, extraordinary people are all here, and everything that took place here is extraordinary. The Sifrei Torah that are here are mostly being pasul, but these two Sifrei Torah have been here since 1929. They were brought here during, after the massacres. They were pasul, but they were saved here, and 3 years ago they were fixed in memory of the three boys that were murdered and the heroes of Tzuk Eitan. And these are the Sifrei Torah that we read from here on Shabbat and Chagim. So you're invited to come, and you know, whoever is not here before gets an aliyah, so please join us.
Today's the yard site of the boys.
Today's the yard site of the boys. There's so much more to say, but we're here for the Holy Shiur. But please, you're welcome to come back. You're welcome to help us be associates. We started the shul a few years ago. We started Friday night for a year, and then we started Shabbat morning. And this Shabbat, we're starting Mincha Maariv Sudash Lishi for the first time. So we're really building the tefillah here, and we invite everybody to join us and also to be associate members. We need all the help. And with your, there's a real natural affinity between your Holy Kehillah and Beit Harav Kook. So it's a really, really a scoop to have you here.
So if I could just get one opportunity just to say thank you to to Moshe. Moshe's not here today, right? I want to just explain the godliness of being able to come here on Fridays. I don't usually open it up to the public. They certainly don't open it up to allow you to have your own group. And there's a lot of back and forth dialogue. No, you may can't. You have to find another time, this, that. Then finally, Father Ramazan, if you come on Friday, they'll arrange for it because of our limited time scope. And they said, no, we have to have tour guides. I said, we're not having tour guides. You have to have two groups. It's too big. I said, no, it's not going to be. We have to come together. We're coming with our Rebbe, with our Rav. And they said, oh, what kind of shul is it? Is it this? Is it Orthodox? What? I said, I'm coming with a Weinberger. I, you know, sent them the copy of the book. And with that, the link. And right after that, I said, Ruchim Haba, enjoy your time. And that was it. And nothing else. And it's a tremendous occurrence of because on Friday afternoon, certainly nobody wants to work in Eretz Yisrael because there's no Sunday. This is Hakam L'Shabbos. So the fact that you came
Brother,
to open up the shul.
Here is not work.
It is. So really, it's a karsa toiv to everybody, and obviously, if you can help them out, that'd be gavaldik. But this is not a fundraiser. This is here purely for Torah. That's what they believe. They want to promote Rav Kook. So I thank the kids for opening up for us.
First of all, following what Yitzchak Mordechai said is to thank Yitzchak, our new old friend, and the chevri here in Beis Harav. It's like in a dream to be sitting together and to take a picture, to look back together with the unbelievable and unbearable busyness of me speaking to you instead of being able to listen to Rav Kook's Bottle Menchaim Lechaim, and to try to pull into our lives some of the Kedusha of the room that we're sitting in. And the tzaddik who occupy the dalramis that we're in, even though it's not such a long time ago, it feels far away. And I wanted very much, Yitzchak Mordechai and I spoke about this in the beginning, to be able to come here. And I'm so appreciative that the chevre here in Beis Harav accommodated us, even though it is difficult for them. It's very, very much appreciated. We've spent a lot of time this past week, the schus of being where tzaddikim are buried. And of course, tzaddikim b'misasam, even when they're dead, they're alive. And according to Zohar Kaddish, they're more alive than when they were in the guf, in the body. They're no longer encumbered by the body. But what a schus we have to be in this place where the tzaddik lived. From that tiny little room that you all saw, the whole world. So there hasn't been so much time the last 2 or 3 days because of all the traveling and running to learn properly. We still have some time for Shabbos. So I just want to tell you, I'm grateful that there's air conditioning here. Or else I would have made things a little bit shorter, but we have time to learn now for an hour or so. I hope that you're prepared for that. There's no reason why we shouldn't. We do that every hour of Shabbos. When we're learning about Rav Kook in Woodmere, why shouldn't we be able to have an hour in this place of Rav Kook? I've had the schus to be here a number of times, with the family here. And there's a special hashra'ah. There's a presence that's here. The walls, the air, everything here is Rav Kook. So let's begin. Page 45 in the Kuntres. I'm going to move very quickly. There's a certain inyan that I want to get across that I've had on my mind. There are no great chidushim, but some important review. And to try to be kind of a certain thing while being here. We should be able to have a kinyan, to acquire something that when we're not here, we talk about, but it's hard to be kind. But in this place, Mitzvah Shem, we can be kind. Tzadik Yisod Olam, on the bottom of the page. When a great neshama ascends, haoleches umisala becomes greater and greater. Harehi madbas chaisam shel atzilus. That neshama of the tzaddik imprints a chaisam of atzilus, of nobility, of shel torah, of purity. Ugdula el yoina al kola havai, and all that exists, not just those who study the writings, those who learn from the tzaddik, all of creation is uplifted, is imprinted with the chosim of the tzaddik. Zo yisod achizayon shel tzaddik yisod olam, and that Rav Kook says is the yisod of that great vision, of a deeper understanding of what it means. Those words that we use all the time. Tzadik Yisod Olam. Of course, with all that implies in Kabbalah, and the Midah of Yisod, but Rav Kook says on a very simple level, the tzaddik is the yesod olam. All that exists in creation is enlivened, is animated, is enriched and empowered by the tzaddik. And whenever the tzaddik ascends in this world, and even after this world, everything in creation is ennobled and uplifted. Nekuda pnimis hi haneshama atzlula v'haremema. That great neshama is the nekuda pnimis, is the inner point of creation. Kol haneshamas kulan v'chol ma'aseyan, kol koiches hayesh, v'chol giluyei hachayim holchim heim, all of the neshamas and all that takes place, all the kaiches, all of this, everything that happens in this world is only for the purpose of being mishachlel, of improving, again, and of ennobling creation. And the tzaddik is the tzaddik yisod olam of all the neshamas and the neshama klolas. Ha'olam achusuhu megama. The world is missing its purpose, its direction, its ultimate tachlis. Kol zman she'ein neshama elyona zerachas bo. In the absence of that great neshama, the neshama klolis, if the neshama klolis is not there to illuminate the world is lost. Ha'olam chusa hi megam. Therefore, the tzaddik is yisod olam on the simplest level. It means in China and in Europe, in America, the presence of the tzaddik in the world provides that or so that everything in the world somehow, be yodim or below yodim, is able to sense that there's a megam, there's a purpose to my existence. The kevan shehibo hi'ira b'or yekrasa, and when that neshama comes into the world and illuminates the world with its precious light, hari ha'olam mishtachlel, the whole world is uplifted. And heaven and earth rejoice, like on the day that they were created. Now you would think that the tzaddik himself, being so aware, more aware than anybody else of what his presence means, you would think that would lead the tzaddik to being haughty, but to chalila, some shemetz of self-awareness or gaiva. So in our Pashas Baloyska, Moshe Rabbeinu's on of Ma'od. It's just the opposite. Yoidim heim yishrei leif. That although those who have those tzaddikim who are yishrei leif, these great tzaddikim whose hearts are entirely straight, who haven't been made crooked by this world. Tzaddikim al yoinim shahim heim hinam tzineris shefa achayim liyukum kula. Even though the tzaddik knows that he is the tzinor of Shefa, he is the conduit of life. For all of creation, Margishim Haim is Gali Hashbar Shal HaToiv Shiyarit Aleim, and they are conscious of the Gali HaToiv, of the waves of good, the waves of holiness and chesed and so on, that descend into the world on their shoulders. Val yodam, through them, boilam, they're aware of this. Bahargishosam zohum labashtam anoviviyir. But instead of that awareness making them haughty, it's just the opposite. And it clothes them in humility and fear. Umiviyosam lehisalos tomid bizor hasechel. And it brings them to an aliyah, constant aliyah, the brilliance of their minds, the shining brilliance of their minds, will be a karat chunas and the preciousness of all their chunas and nefesh. 46. We're going to move fast. I promise you a surprise ending to this that'll cause each and every person here, mamish, to go out of the kelim. Not of anything that I'm going to say, but something that we're going to see. And it's going to put together the entire trip from Warsaw, Lahavdil, from Warsaw till Yerushalayim HaKadosh. We'll see what I mean. 46. B B'Shabbosos, you have? I'm sorry for those that don't have it with you. It's hard to hear. B'Shabbosos Nohag Harav Lilboish Big Day Lovan. And Shabbos Rav Kook would wear white begodim. Kimidag Mekubolim Va'an Shamayis. As was the minig of Mekubolim, Svadish Mekubolim still, Ad Hayom, Ad Chassidim. By the time of the Divrei Chaim, after the Divrei Chaim, we don't see so much. But the Mekubolim would wear on Shabbos Big Day Lovan. Bishnas Tav Reish Pei Dalet. In 1924, this is a personal account by Rabbi Yitzchak Feivelson, who was Mishamish Rav Kook on the remarkable trip that he took with the Kovner Rav and with Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein from Slobodka, the trip that they took to America. So Bishnas Tav Reish to raise money for the yeshivas. Bishnas Tav Reish Pedal. Heflagnu ba'oniel America. We went on a boat to America. Imerav Kook b'mishlachas ligiyus k'sofim l'yeshivas. In a special mission to try to raise money for the yeshivas here in Eretz Yisrael. Higia Erev Shabbos. And Erev Shabbos, they were on the boat. And Erev Shabbos arrived. Va'achre shehechnis atzmei harav Avram doivber kahana shapir mekovna l'shabbos. After the Kovna Rav. The Kovner Rav, the Dvar Avram, after he was considered to be from the biggest Gaoni Lita in the world, he was the greatest, from the greatest Rabbonim in the world, the Kovner Rav, you all heard of him. He already had made his preparations for Shabbos. Humbly, he said to me, meaning to this Rabbi Yitzchak Feivelson, he said to me, Bo nekanes le Rav Kook. Let's go see Rav Kook. Let's go to say good Shabbos, to go to Rav Kook. Halachnu leteo shel harav. We went into his... What do you call in a boat? The room? Cabin, right, exactly. We went into the cabin in the boat. Umitzanuhu yoyishev lovu shlovan v'ote shtraim. And we saw him in his white Shabbos clothing, and he was already wearing his spodik, his shtraim. Achrei shis yashavnu, we sat down. Hischil harav l'dabra al kedushas am Yisrael. Rav Kook began to discuss the kedusha of am Yisrael. O Kedusha Eretz Yisrael and the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, O Kedusha Shabbos, and of course he wove them all together, the Kedusha of Am Yisrael, of Eretz Yisrael, and the Kedusha of Shabbos. V'himshech kach kishor t'mima. And he continued talking about this Shabbos and Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael for an hour. K'shi yatzalnu miteo, when we left his cabin, hoyer rav mikovna nirgash ma'ol. The Kovner Rav was very, very excited. He was very emotional, the Kovner Rav. Upon Eli, and he turned to me, V'amar, and he said, Ilu hayo oimrim li achshav, sharav kukhu mashiach hayisima. If somebody would tell me now, when I'm in the state of mind, when I was just here, because afterwards when you go, you know, then you get caught up in things. But in the truth of this moment of where I am, Erev Shabbos, Tofrit, Reish Peidal, in the boat, here with Rav Kook, if someone would say that this man is Mashiach, the Kovner Rav is not somebody who could be easily taken for a ride. He said, Hayisi Maman, I would believe that. I would believe that. So we hear Erev Shabbos. When I was zoichet to see the Shtraimel, when I was here, the Shtraimel was there, by the way. I don't know what happened to the Shtraimel. They took away the Shtraimel, the Sfasemis, and the Kutei Torah from the room. I have to find out who got for that from the room. But we're here, Erev Shabbos, already quite a few years later, to try to have a little bit of a time, a little bit of a taste. And this is the taste that I'm trying, together with you, all of the time, to extract from Rav Kook's teachings. Instead of having it in Hebrew, I got the English translation of a famous poem of Rav Kook. Many of you have seen this. I saw when we came in the display case, there's a CD called Merchavim, Expanses. So let's look on page 47. This poem contains the story of Rav Kook's life. and all that he was trying to accomplish. Sadly, he wasn't able to accomplish all that he wanted, and he's still living in a city that's torn apart in many ways. But what Rav Kook wanted was expanses, merchavim. The Hebrew is much more beautiful, but to save time, we'll do it in the English. Also, it's much easier for some of the chavrim. Now, you know that Rav Kook struggled terribly with trying to find expression for his thoughts and for his emotions. He literally suffered from this. And we find in a number of places how it tormented him, that he had emotions, he had thoughts that he could not find a way to put into writing. Which is most remarkable, because anybody who's ever looked at anything he's ever written, there's no Lashon HaKodesh like that on earth. There's never been written such Lashon HaKodesh. And still Rav Kook was always broken by his inability to capture his thoughts and feelings in words. Because there are expanses that cannot be contained in a written word. Expanses, merchavim, merchavim. I'm pronouncing the Hebrew the way that Rav Kook did. He didn't say merchavim, he said merchavim. Merchavim, merchavim. Expanses divine, my soul craves. Expanses divine, my soul craves. Merchavim. Confine me not in cages of substance or of spirit. My soul soars the expanses of the heavens. Walls of heart and walls of deed will not contain it. Morality, logic, custom, my soul soars above these, above all that bears a name, above delight, above every delight and beauty, above all that is exalted and ethereal. I am lovesick. Cholas ahava. I am lovesick. I thirst for God. As a deer for water brooks, ka'ayol alafike mai. Alas, who can describe my pain? Who will be a violin to express the songs of my grief? Who will voice my bitterness, the pain of seeking utterance? The pain of seeking utterance. That kivyochel is Hashem's pain also. Of seeking utterance, so that others will understand. I thirst for truth, not for conception of truth. For I ride on its heights. I'm wholly absorbed by truth. I'm wholly pained by the anguish of expression. How can I utter the great truth that fills my whole heart? Who will disclose to the multitude, to the world, to all creatures, to nations and individuals alike, the sparks abounding in treasures of light and warmth stored within my soul? I see the flames rise upward, 48, piercing the heavens. But who feels, who can express their might? I am not like one of those heroes who have found whole worlds in their inwardness. For the world knew of their wealth or not, it was all the same to them. In other words, there were tzaddikim who were content being silent. And whatever they knew and whatever they felt, it remained a secret to the world. It was contained in that place of their own inwardness. But I'm not like them, Rav Kook said. I'm not like them. I want to tell the story. I have a story to tell. I have a truth that I want to share. And it's killing me that I don't know how to do it. These herds of sheep walking on 2 feet, of what use was it if they knew man's true height? And what loss in their not knowing? There were others who didn't know anything and lived like animals. I am bound to the world. All creatures, all people are my friends. Many parts of my soul are intertwined with them. But how can I share with them my light? Whatever I say only covers my vision. As much as I try to say, it covers more and more of what I want to say in my vision. Dulls my light. Great is my pain, and great my anguish. Oh my God, Elokai, Elokai, be a help in my trouble. Find for me the graces of expression. Grant me language and the gift of utterance. I shall declare before the multitudes my fragments of your truth, oh my God. So let's try to taste a fragment of the truth that Rav Kook so graciously shared with the world. Amar Rabbi Akiva. You don't have that inside. Just keep it in front of you. I'll get to it in a second. Not Ashrechem Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Akiva. It's always Ashrechem Yisrael, but not. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Ein kol ha'olam kedai. It's a familiar mission in Yadayim, you all know. The whole world was not worth the greatness of that revelation, of that day when Shir HaShirim was revealed. Shekol HaShirim Kodesh, because all songs that were ever composed, including Shirei Kodesh, all songs are Kodesh, but V'Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kodosh. That's the mission of the third parak in Yadayim. But Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kodosh. Now, this is a very deep maimer. And Rav Kook has many questions about this maimer in his introduction to Shir HaShirim. Because why was this Davki Rabbi Akiva? We've spoken about this in different ways in earlier years. Why Davki Rabbi Akiva? Do you know that he was a voice in the wilderness? The other Chachamim were opposed to this and believed that Shir HaShirim was too dangerous to insert into Tanakh. And if not for Rabbi Akiva, the world might have received Shir HaShirim. But Rabbi Akiva said, Kol HaShirim Kodesh, but Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kadoshim, is the Holy of Holies. What is the meaning of that? Kodesh Kadoshim. What makes Shir HaShirim Holy of Holies? So, you all know that there are two great loves that are described in Tanakh, and that really Tanakh is the story of these two great loves and the ancillary loves that come from it. But the two great loves, of course, are Ahavas HaBoyre, Ahavas HaShem, and Ahavas Yisrael. From there, of course, Ahavas HaTorah and Ahavas Eretz Yisrael v'chul. But the two great loves and the mitzvahs of Ahavas HaBoyre and Ahavas HaReya, v'ahavta l'recha kamecha. B'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'idecha. What's remarkable is that the Kadmonim have revealed that v'ahavta Hashem Elokecha is the same gematria as v'ahavta l'recha kamecha. V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha is the same gematria of v'ahavta l'recha kamecha. Now you also know, and that's part of this sugya, that when the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that Hillel HaZaken was asked by that ger for kol ha-Torah kula, for the entirety of Torah, so he told him in simple language in Aramaic that what you don't like done to you, don't do to anybody else. V'ahavt l'reacha kamecha. V'ahavt l'reacha kamecha. That in, essentially, that's kol ha-Torah kula. That's the entirety of Torah. V'idach and the rest, zil gemar. The rest to go learn. So that's the entirety of Torah. Of course, raises many questions we've discussed over the years. V'ahav l'recha kamecha on the surface is only talking about that one love of loving another person. It's talking about loving the other person, not Hashem. We discussed this, some of you were there in the Shiurim. We spoke about the Tzemach Tzedek and Derech Mitzvah and the Mitzvah of Ahavas Yisrael. We're there, the Tzemach Tzedek discusses this as well. That what does that mean? That the whole Torah is loving another Jew. Where does Hashem Yisbarach come into that? And how is loving another person kol ha-Torah kula, Shabbos and Yontif and Tefillin and all the mitzvahs? There are many great works of literature. And for lack of time, I don't want to, and because of the holiness of this place, I don't want to quote anything specifically from these books. But there's one interesting story that I remember seeing years ago in a course that I was taking in college, where there was a story about some Muslim holy man who was taking a walk with his son, and the son asked him, "Father, do you love me?" And he said, "Of course I love you." And he said, "Father, do you love God?" And he said, "Of course I love God." So the boy said to his father, "And Father, you'll have to make a choice. Either you love me or you love God. But it's not possible that you love both of us entirely." That's what the boy said. It's interesting, Ha'ara. So the father, what the book said over there was that the father thought deeply about what the child said, and from that moment he turned his heart away from his child and only to God. It's a happy ending for the kid. I bet you he regrets ever saying that, asking him the question. He turned his heart away from his kid and he gave himself entirely to God, because the child pointed out that there's a steer. Or the other thing, it's either this or that. One heart can't be possessed by two loves that are contradictory, a love for a human being and a love for the Creator. From the Gemara in Shabbos and what Hillel HaZaken told the Ger, not only is it not a stira, not only is it not a contradiction, not only are we not asked to choose between God and our children, our wives, our parents and friends, brothers and sisters, not only are we not asked to make a choice, but adrabba, just the opposite. That somehow, and that's what we're going to talk about now, that somehow my love for my child, and my love for my wife, and my friends, and so on, is the greatest path that leads towards the love of God. And those two loves are not contradictory. Those two loves are mashlim, are completing and strengthening each one the other. Look inside the first Ma'ar Makom on page 48b. It says one. Where is the Kodesh Chela Gimel, page Kuf Mem Zayin? Ha'odem tzarech leheichaleitz tamid mimizgeroys of haprotis. A person must always unbound himself, tear himself away from his own mizgeroys, his own personal encasements, his own smallness. He has to tear himself away. Hamimalos, I got caught up a little bit. Hamimalos es kol mahusa, because a person's entire being is completely filled with his own life and his own inyonim and his own problems and his own milas, his own chesroinis. A person's mind and heart are filled, completely filled with himself. Ad shekol raya noisav soivim tomid rak al dvar goyrolo haprati, to the point that all of his thoughts are constantly revolving around his own personal gyro, about himself, which is one of a number of reasons why modern man is so emotionally unhealthy. It used to be that even if you had your own inyanim that weren't going so well, there were other things in the world to think about. But if you're not doing well and all you have on your mind is yourself, it's going to be hard. If your business is failing, if your kid, God forbid, is doing something bad, if your wife doesn't love you, and all your thoughts and feelings revolve around those items in your life, and that's your misgeris apratis, and it's not going well, you're not gonna be successful. You're not gonna be happy. So if Cook says we have to tear out, break away. Because all this way of thinking drags a person into the deepest place of katnus, of smallness. Ein keitz liyisurim gashmiyim v'ruchniyim. There's no end to the suffering in gashmiyis and in ruchniyis. Gashmiyim and ruchniyim. There's no end to the suffering in gashmiyis and in ruchniyis. Hamisulvavim mizeh. That come as a result of that way of thinking and feeling. Avot tzarech shetiyah machshavtei ritzaynai. A person's way of thinking, and what a person wants, has to be always given over to klolius, to everythingness, not just to himself. L'klolus hakol, l'klolus ha'ilim, the whole world. L'odim, all of mankind. L'klolus Yisrael, the klolius of Am Yisrael, not just your chug. That you're a Belz or Chassid, and as long as things are good in Belz, then the world is fine. Or if you're a Svardi that belongs to this Chelek of the world from Svardim, that you raise money for your Chelek and you're devoted to your Chelek, but the rest of Klal Yisrael doesn't mean anything, Chas v'Shalom. Klolius, Merchovim, expanses. The Chol HaYikum, for all of creation. You remember of Cook's pain when Rabbi Levine tore the leaf off the tree? And without paying attention, he tore a leaf off the tree. And of Cook gave Ashray, like somebody stabbed him. And he said to Rabbi, why are you doing that? Rabbi said, what did I do? He said, you took the leaf from the tree. So Rabbi said, okay, what happened? To Rav Cook, that was part of his expanses. That was in his world. That leaf was part of his world. It's not sukkah, it's not schachen. What are you tearing? What are you taking life away from something? It's part. This is not because he's a liberal. It's because he's tzaddik. Because he's tzaddik. I have to be more careful here with what I say than at home. Because he's tzaddik yisod olam. Umizet es bases es lo gam haproti yishalo. So now you might be thinking, yeah, Rav Cook is starting to talk maybe, like, God forbid, like that tumah that we just spoke about a minute ago, but that father and son. Then what happens to this person's son? Like your own proteus, your own life. Rav Cook says that if you tear yourself out of that tiny, miserable katnas, then you will see is that mizet tesbas yisasal gam ha-pratius shalo. Then your pratius will also become healthy. Your individuality and your sense of individuality and your life with your family and friends and so on will become also more healthy. B'tzuah ru'uyah, in the right way. In the right way. So Rav Cook is saying here is that the beginning of love, that's what we're talking about now, the beginning of ahava, the beginning of love, is when the person is able to look beyond himself, to go beyond his own gvulim, to be able to expand beyond himself. That's the beginning of ahava. Once the person matures, the baby is completely, completely obsessed with himself. And why does the baby love his mother? The mothers feel so good. It's a little bit sad. I mean, it's nice, but it's a little sad because the mothers feel like this baby is so meshugah for the mother, right? So every time the mother walks in, the kid has to flap and go crazy. And father, like, but for the mother, the baby like goes meshugah for the mother. So the mother feels, oh, ki'ilu, like this kid knows what a great person I am. It could be a shifra from Nigeria, you'll excuse me, and it would be a nafkimina to the kid one way or the other. All that kid knows is that whenever this lady, I don't know her name, I don't really care, like, if anything about her. I just know that when she comes in, it's good for me. It just works out for me. Whenever this lady comes in, I get something to eat. If I'm uncomfortable, I get a diaper change. So, I'm in love. This child falls in love. And if the father's a friendly guy, So the kid also can give a little smile because he knows this when he walks in, throws you up a couple of times, a little bit behind the back, a little, you know, a layup, a jump shot, and you know, and then, okay, it doesn't last for long, for 2-3 minutes, but then, but self, the kid enjoys, this is fun. So I think I love him too. I love him also, he's good. So the father thinks, my kid knows what a good father I am. My kid appreciates me. He couldn't care less who you are, doesn't know who you are. It would make no difference if there was a robot that was twirling him around. All he knows is that this cheftza, you want to call yourself a gavra? This cheftza that does that to me, that makes funny faces, that this cheftza, it makes me feel good. So then the kids, in the kid's way of thinking and emoting, he loves the father. So now he loves both parents. Because he realizes that his entire life, his entire existence, is connected to them and depends on them. He understands that. An animal, lahavdil, feels that as well. But the baby knows that and understands that. Now what happens is, as one grows in a healthy, normal way, the way that the Bari Olam wanted, as a person grows, hu mitrachev, mechovim, he begins to expand. He begins to see expanses in his life. And that means that the chug, how do you say chug? The circle of his acquaintances, friends, people that make him laugh. We had a real good time these past couple of days with all of the crying and everything else that we went through. But we have a good time because we love each other and it's great for chever to be together. So now we're going home with people who until now were not part of my chug, but not part of my circle. And now, Baruch Hashem, the circle expanded a little bit and I have this guy, that guy, it's nice. And then the chat and all that stuff, right? To try to keep the circle intact. Maybe we'll have another reunion someplace. Well, we did that last time. So there's a harchava that has taken place. And through that harchava, I move beyond, as the child matures, he moves beyond the small circle of family and friends. And then there's a feeling of connection to community. To community, to my kehila, to my chassidus, to my yeshiva, or where we come from, whatever it might be. So there's because I understand that if I'm a Belzer Chassid, that I have a connection through that world of bells. I have a connection to all Belzer Chassidim in the world, even if I didn't meet them. But I have a connection to them. And that's an expansiveness that has taken place beyond family and immediate a circle of friends. And if somebody is a Syrian Jew, and he's always hearing about that, and he's meeting things, and they're reading about, his family reads and tells him stories about the Saba and the Safta and so on, and then it grows and more, and there's a feeling of that pride that comes with being a Jew from Syria. And it's not just pride, there's an ahava amitis, a true love for all the community of Syrian Jews. Because he sees his chelak, yehei chelki imahem. He sees that he has a chelak in the Syrian community. He sees he's a chelak of bells. In other words, the truth is really what he loves most is himself. That's the nature of man. What he's most possessed by is himself. And he's not being told by Hashem to get rid of that. God forbid, that's not good. What Hashem is saying is take yourself and expand. See yourself. Now, you're not just part of that little family with mommy and daddy and your brother and sister. See yourself as part of the shul. Now, see yourself not just that your life is entangled and intertwined with your shul, but see it as far as the Jewish community that you live in. And then go beyond that and grow and grow and grow. Look inside too. Also, Erev HaKadosh Chelek Gimel, page Kuf Nun Zayin, on top of the left side. Kol ma sheha'odem mis'ala yoyzeh b'tziros ha'ruchanis. The more a person grows spiritually, Margishu Yoser as Erech HaGodol Shel HaRabim, the more he feels the great value of the Rabbim, of more people, of the Rabbim. HaTzibur Maschilios Chai B'Tochi Yuso, the Tzibur begins to be a living organism within him. Not like some people, all they have is it's mommy, daddy, brother and sister. And you have your Uncle Sal and your aunt, Genendel or something. And whatever happens in the world depends upon what's going on with aunt, uncle, brother. Some of you might have grown up in such small circles. But the only thing that counts in the world is what's going on. As long as everything is okay by uns, by us, of course you give a crack. We hear bad news about this, we give a bad news. But as long as didn't happen, as long as Uncle Sal's business is okay on Orchard Street, it's okay. Life is still good. Life is still good. But that the tzibur should become something which is alive in a person. That you mamish feel a love for a tzibur. Chai b'toch yuso. Bilvavo. In his heart. And the depths of his heart, he feels the needs of others, of the community, of the tzibur. In every tzibur, you have people that they live entirely to themselves. You know how I've been very, very strong about this over the years? There are people that they'll come to a shul, they just find themselves a little tiny corner, and they try to daven, they're holy people, they try to daven and learn and to just hide. They have their one or two friends. When there's an inyan of the tzibur, maybe you can get a check, but anything as far as being mishtatef for the tzibur, being involved with the tzibur, going out and helping the tzibur, even attending tzibudik things, it's not for them. Like this, chug katan. As gadol ha'erach shel achai. And then beyond that, to feel the great value of life bechlal. Rav Kook was a person who felt the value of that leaf that was torn from the tree, of any living creature, of an insect, of an animal. Not because of some meshugana, philosophy, but because of life. Because it's a living being. Hamafam b'chlolos ha-tzibur, that is beating in the tzibur, that reality. Look at 2b. Gedor le-ha-neshama, right, that's over there. Gedor le-ha-neshama. Those of great spirit, the great neshama that we began with, but not only tzaddikim alone, but people who are possessed by a great neshama, gedolei haneshama, einam yicholim lios nifrodim min haklolus hayoyisam akifa. They cannot separate themselves from the most expansive klolios. They can't tear themselves away from everything. Kol chepsam shiifosam hitomid toyvas haklal kulo. These great neshamas are constantly filled with a great chayfetz and a she'ifa, a longing. For the toivas haklal kulo, for the betterment of all people, not just Jews, but for all human beings, for all that exists. Haklal bimloi rochvai govho ve'omko. The klal. How do you translate klal? What's a good translation for a klal? I have to ask Reb Simai. It's a better word in Yiddish. A klal b'mloi roch by gov of amka. The klal, and all of its breadth and depth, the klal. Now, ganzenkeit. Okay. Now listen, so chevra, until now, again, I don't want to be machbid upon you, but it's air conditioned, it's okay. And if you have to go, we'll cover. Until now, we've spoken about the expansion that takes place, growing from my little baby self, that all I can love is mommy and daddy because they just, I see how they take care of me. Then I see like my brother and sister, that's, there's some good there too. There's stuff that they do with me, whatever. We have fun. And then it goes to the cousins, relatives, and then the community of Chul. We've been talking about expanses, but expanses between ourselves and others. The big question of Yiddishkeit, and this is the question we began with, is where does the Creator fit into this? What is the Bari Olam, the Creator? So you might think, now, the one who has a small neshama, not what Rav Kook is talking about, the one who doesn't live in the merchavim and expanses, so he might think that in my most private, intimate, personal space, that's where God is found. That's where God is found. And of course, each one has to develop his own relationship with Hashem. It's not a question. But the truth is, Rav Kook explains, and we'll see in a moment, how Hashem is Baruch is the Kloliyus Hakol. Hakol Yochol, the Kol Olam Yachad. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that truth that is Makif, that surrounds Sayyid Kalam or Mamalik Kalam. Hashem is the great reality, the biggest makif that surrounds, engulfs, includes all that exists. So the person might think that the way to find Hashem is in smallness. That's the way. That's the place to look for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the truth is that Hashem who's HaKol Yochol V'Kol Olam Yachad says the following. That truth says the following. This is Rav Kook is teaching. Unless you're a person that climbs the ladder that is Mutzav Arzah V'Reisha Megiyah Shemayim, if you're a Jew that's Mutzav Arzah and you're stuck in the miserable smallness of your family and friends, a couple of friends in your family, and a small way of thinking, you might come up with something about Hashem, 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 and your whole Hashem is about whether or not your tefillin is this way, a little bit that way, you know what I mean? That'll be your whole religion will be looking in the mirror to check your tefillin. I'm not against tefillin being on right. But even though it's an Irish cake, there's room on the head for okay. But you might, your whole Yiddishkeit, your whole relationship with God will be that centimeter, that millimeter, that's your katnus, because that's where God is found. And that sieve katn that you found in the Mishnah Berurah, that's your God. Your God is the God of the Mishnah Berurah. In that small place on your head of a centimeter like this or like that, that's your Baruch Hu. And when somebody asks you, but what do you have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu? What are you asking me? They don't even understand the question. What's the question? I wash Negel Vasu and I do whatever you're supposed to do, which is, of course, very holy and very important. What Rav Kook is revealing here, what we're learning today, is that life is a sulam that's mutzav arzah, that begins on the ground in that small world of the self. But the tachlis is that it should what? It should be Ola Shemayim. It should ascend to the heavens. And what's remarkable is that you can't really find God. You could notice Him. You could take note of Him at the bottom of the ladder. Because of course, Rav Kook himself used to say, it's not only my Rav Masach, Hashem, my Katan Masach. Hashem is in everything. But only the person he calls Gedolei HaNeshama, those people, Gedolei HaNeshama, who ascend the ladder, as they get higher and higher and the expanses grow wider and wider, at the top of the ladder, the prize that you find at the top is the Borei Kol HaOlam, is the creator of all worlds. Roisha Megiya Shemaim. In other words, Ahavas Hashem. In all honesty, most of us don't know what that means at all. We don't know what that means at all. We talk about Ahavas Hashem, you learn in the Sefer Mitzvahs. And then you feel good because you know that the Rambam brings down, the Gemara says that, you know, that you could be, maybe you could somehow fulfill that by loving Talmidei Chachamim, or to cause other Jews to keep mitzvahs and so on. In other words, the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem itself has expansions. But what does it mean to be Cholas Ahava? Not by any raise of anybody's hand. What does that mean to be lovesick for God? A small person can't feel that. A small person can't feel it because only a person who's able to rip open the tininess of himself can connect to that which is the everything of all that exists. To come to that place of Ahavas Hashem, of Merchavim, look at number three. Kishadam Mesim is Libo Vidaitl Hidabik Bar Aluki, Hamur Bekneses Yisrael Bechlala. When a person gives himself over, his heart and his mind, to become attached to the God of light that shines Bekneses Yisrael Bechlala and all of Knesset Bechlala, Bechol HaNeshomis Bechol HaDaris and all souls and all generations, Bezdabiku, Aydezemi Mela, Be'or HaAlokus HaShare Bechlalus, Shira Kermish HaKlal HaAdam. Then he begins to find the light of Hashem that's in all of mankind. Shekness Yisrael Hu Merkazu V'Tamtzis, which Am Yisrael, of course, is the center of. Then you begin to become aware of the lokus that's in all of creation, all that exists. And only then can you come to a state of dveikus in God Himself, which is lamal mikol havaya, which transcends all that exists. In other words, through that dveikus in Hashem and ascending the ladder and expanding the borders of love, one is able to come to that highest place, which is to love Hashem, who transcends all that exists. But you have to go through existence to come to that transcendent place of all that exists. So when we ask ourselves, how come we're not lovesick for God? I mean, we try to do the mitzvahs, we try to put the tefillin on straight, but how come we don't feel this? Like what Rav Kook describes about he's lovesick for Hashem. Whoa, whoa. We don't know what that means. I never met him. How do you love him? What does he mean? I never met him, I never saw him. I don't know what you're talking about. I can say the words, but I don't know what you're talking about. So the beginning of the journey of Ahava is getting away from that smallness of Anoichius and Protius and Katnus. The question is, how do you do that? How do we begin to do that? Now, a good therapist should be helping a person with that. That's really what a good therapist, one of the main things that a good therapist should be working with, and helping the person to realize that not everything that's happening on the earth is about you. It's about you. And to be able to give you important reasons to see how life is precious, even though something in your life is not working out so well. It's one of the main things that we should be taught growing up. So look at footnote 5, at Maram Malkum 5. But we want our kids to be big people. We want them to grow into big people. We want ourselves to be big people. We're living in a time when there's an unbelievable worship of the self. A worship mamish of the self. It's the time of the whole thing with the selfies and everything. It's not just the selfie picture. Let's stop. But all that means. All that means. It's just the last president and the president now and this shift from a certain broadness and greatness to self, to the self. How could a person ever come to believe in God if he thinks that he is God? How does a person ever come to something bigger, to come to the Bari Olam, if he's the Bari Olam? If he himself is God? That's the time that we're living in. So the question is, so how do you get out of the Mizgeris, the small Mizgeris? Look at 5. Now 5 is Dafka, not from Rav Kook. 5 is from Rav Dessler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in Michtam Eliyahu. I'm sure that most of you have seen this. The Kuntres HaChesed of Rav Dessler is something which is Aleph Beis. So Rav Dessler writes there about what's the beginning of the journey that Rav Kook has described. Are you still okay? You all right? It's getting harder.
We're going to start 2 more hours. Just get 2 more hours.
You're going to regret that. No, don't worry. Then we're going to Rebbe Shammai. Rav Dessler writes the following. It's so simple, and it's so true, and you can save a lot of money on therapy. Yesh b'china acheres l'mayla mizu kvar bi'arnu
Shahava, he told us, Nesina.
I think that most of you, maybe all of you, know this. Ahava, Rav Dessler says in these couple of words, something of a deep, deep truth from the Zohar Kodesh. Rav Dessler also, like we spoke with the Maral yesterday in Prague, that the Maral had a way of making the Nista, covering it with Nigla, right? Rav Dessler was also a master of taking concepts from Kabbalah and from Chassidus and from the deeper teachings of the Gra also, and making it in the Lashon of Nigla. And he says, how does one begin to love? So let's say you're stuck in that small little circle. And you hear this, what Rav Cook is talking about, and you say, you know, I'd like to do that. I'd like to be able to get out of that circle, and I'd like to be able to get to that top of the ladder. I'd like that. So how do I do that? Help me. So Dessa says, there's only one Eitzah, really. The Eitzah is this. Ahava hi talodas anisina. Ahava comes, love comes, as a result of giving. What does that mean? Shalomokim shenoisein. When you invest in somebody, shalomokim means into a person, shalomokim shenoisein. When you give to someone, noisein hu me'atzmai. Now remember, the essential core love of every human being is the self. To the extent that I see myself somewhere else, I can love the other. But it always begins with the self. That's natural. That's not bad. Hashem made us that way. It always begins with the self. The shaila is, what's chabach ha-shaychis mit them, you know? Like, what's my shaychis? Like I told you many times, that I was in this farm store on Main Street in Queens when the rocket blew up, the Challenger, or the other one, I don't remember the first one, Challenger, when it blew up. And there were like 10 people in the store, and the news was on, and we were all standing there like, right? And the one lady was crying, and it was like a pachad. That, you know, you had hundreds of people watching over there, including family and students of the teacher that was there. And you had all around the world people, and you had these people. And it said it exploded, and they were on the news. And everybody, we were standing there in this, I was in this room with these people. And everybody was just shocked. And people started to cry. And there was one guy, and he said, what are you making a big deal? A couple of goyim in a rocket ship, like that's what he said. What are you making such a big deal about a couple of goyim in a rocket ship? So Cardin, there was a Jew there also. That's just a side note, because even if there wouldn't be a Jew there, what a katnus of a person. A katnus. To him, when there's a tsunami and he watches on his iPhone the tsunami, it's like a board game. But those are human beings. You're looking at an island that's filled with life, with people, with families, with friends and love, and stories. And then a wave comes and it's Gandhi. The whole thing is gone. You saw pictures, remember? In a second, a wave came and the whole thing is gone. Oh, not give me a couple of 100,000 going. Not half give me. When you're tiny, when you're small, and the only place you give is to your little circle, then you have not invested yourself anywhere else other than yourself or your little circle. Okay, so you love your best friend, he's your buddy. You love your wife, you love your kid. Okay. But when you give yourself over to somebody else, either with money or with time, whatever it is, you give yourself over to the other, to the community, to the bigger picture. When you give yourself over to someone, then you begin to love the beneficiary of your kindness. Why? Because you now have given a chelik of yourself into the other. And since the teva is to love yourself, that's where all love begins. Now you've invested that piece of yourself into the other, and you begin to love the other. Ki umoytzei es atzmai kol ulboy. Because you see yourself as part of that, of the other. You see your life intertwined with the other. I have a shaychis to the other. V'im yarbe ma'oid es chazdo imreyu. And if you're really giving a lot to the other, to your friend, a lot, Yim says, kol atzmai kol ulbo, you will find yourself completely bound to it. Your entire being is attached to that person. And you find someone that raised a child, not their own child, adopted a child, that raised a child. And the people who are looking at the outside say, like, it's not his own kid, you know. And you see there's so much ahava. In certain ways, it's possible to love even more because of what that person had to break out of himself to give love to a stranger's child. They were not masik, such a thing. Only the people that do that stuff. Or how you have these children with special needs and how the parents are devoted to these children. It's something that we can't understand. Everybody should have healthy children. We can't understand. We can't understand what that means. Do you know how much these parents give to those kids? Am I messing something up? Do you know how much these parents do for those children? They live every single second. You have a parent with a kid. The kid's 32 years old, and he still has all these sorrows, and he's living with his parents. So you would think, I'd go out of my kingdom. I couldn't take this kid. Those parents are inseparable. They love the kid in the deepest way. Because they've given themselves entirely over to him. That's what it means, a new meaning, right? What? Kamoicha. The v'ahavta comes because the kamoicha, like yourself, is in that person. Mamish. Kamoicha b'li shum hefresh. Kamoicha b'li shum hefresh. No difference. Kamoicha kosim, it says, Sharm Prekidal, Shivyan b'li shum hefresh. Hayu b'chines hestavus v'zdahus, you identify completely, believe, uberegesh. So Misha Oysa Chesedim Kol Yisrael, so when you have a Jew, that's Oysa Chesedim Kol Yisrael, that he's doing things for all of Am Yisrael, like Rav Kook was talking about, B'chol Me'usai, Me'uchad L'gamre Imohem. That person becomes Me'uchad completely, he becomes bound together and one with all of Am Yisrael. Now here's where we begin to come back to Shir Hashem. We're coming into the landing now. Here's where we can begin to hear the Inyan of what Shir Hashem is, Kodesh Kodesh. Let's look at 6 and 6b. Look at 6 on the left side. This is one of the most poetic and beautiful pieces. You only have to do everything very quickly. Look carefully, look inside. Six. Aris HaKredesh, Chelik Beis, page Tuf Mem Dal. Yesh Shuhu, we did this once years ago. Yesh Shuhu Shar Shiras Nafshay. There's a certain kind of a person who sings the song of his own soul. Shiras Nafshay. It's his own soul. He has his own song, his life. Ubenafshay Hu Moitzes HaKol. And in his own life, he finds everything he's looking for. That's what he's looking for in himself. As Meloy HaSipuk HaRuchani B'miluo, and whatever spiritual, physical sipuk he has, it's within himself. V'yeshu Shar Shiras HaUma. But then you have a bigger person who sings the song of his nation, of the nation of Am Yisrael. Yotzi hu mitoch ha-ma'agal shal nafsha ha-protes. Listen to the words. Yotzi hu mitoch ha-ma'agal shal nafsha ha-protes. He's able to break through the circle of his own private soul, of his own private existence. She'en ha-moitzi oisam ruchevis karoi. Because he doesn't find his own life expansive enough. He can't take it. V'lo miyushevis yishuv ideeli. It's not an ideal way to live. Shoef limroi me'oz. He has longings. Limroi me'oz for great, powerful heights. V'mezdabek bi'ahava adina im klalusa shal knesses Yisrael. And he binds himself with a gentle love to the entire Jewish people. V'imahu sha'ares shireh. And with the Jewish people, he sings the songs of the Jewish people. Not just the song of his own life. He sings the songs of Am Yisrael. And he feels the pain. When there's a Jew someplace in the world, he feels the pain of that Jew. He sings the song of that Jew, of all Jews, and he feels the pain of all Jews. And he delights in the hopes of all Jews, of the Jewish people. And this person thinks deeply in a holy way of the history of the Jewish people. He's obsessed with Jewish history. He wants to know everything that happened to our people. Everything that we went through. And he wants to know everything that's going to happen that the Nevi'im talk about. He's obsessed with that. And he investigates with love and chochmas lev. He's not satisfied with just knowing things on the surface. He wants to know, what is a Jew? What is it? What makes a Jew tick? What's the toichen haruchani? What's the inner essence of a Jew, of the Jewish people? He's not satisfied with just do this and don't do that. He wants to know, what is it? What is? Who am I? What are we? Who are we? But then there's even more than that. Now, that's already a big accomplishment. But there's more. Then you have a person, the mechavim are getting greater. Ad sheyoytzu mispashet mi'al gvul Yisrael. So this Ahava now is mispashet, and it goes beyond the gvul Yisrael, even beyond the borders of Am Yisrael. Of course, the focus is Am Yisrael, but it goes beyond. L'shira shira sa'odah. Remember, he just saw a book said, I love everything. I love everyone. He was mamish like that. Lo shir shira sa'odam. This person, but he sings the song of all mankind. Rucha ha'olech mizrachiv begoyin klolus odam v'hoit sa'almai. The beauty and the splendor of man who's created in God's image. Shoyef el tudosa ha'klolus ha'metzap l'shtalmus l'shtalmus al-yoyna. He's longing for the shtalmus, for the shleimus of everything. He wants everything, everybody, everywhere to be good, to be healthy, to be moral. Now, how could you get better than that? There's something even higher than that. And this person soars to a higher place. Remember, you have to go in order. Now, if you get just stuck at a certain place here, that's a problem. Then there's the person who feels a deep love for all of creation, for everything that exists. Now, if a person only loves, if he only loves the earthworm, but he doesn't love his neighbor, things are messed up. And he sings a song together with all of creation. Zehu ha'oisek v'perek shira b'chol yoyim sh'muvtach lo'y sh'bnei l'mabuch. Chazal say that if you say perek shira, which has the song of everything that exists, you know what I'm talking about, as the shira of everything that exists, if you say perek shira b'chol yoyim, Chazal made such a promise, you muvtach l'mabuch. What's the big deal, perek shira? So now, of course, somebody caught on to that and it got into some web thing, so they start to make fancy perek shiras, and now the perek shira website, you'll be my buddy for perek shira, we'll say perek shira 40 days, da-da-da-da-da. Everything can be made, even the biggest things can be squeezed into something that's tiny. However, perek shir b'chal yoyim doesn't mean just a recitation. It means that you sing that song of everything. Then you've been Olam Haba, because Olam Haba is everything. Im Now this is the key. And then you have that person, the tzaddik, that he's able to ascend and put all of these songs together. That's bad if they get broken up. He puts into a beautiful, beautiful song. All together. And each of these parts of the individual self, of a community of friends, of community of nation, of the world, and of all that exists, he puts them together. Makes a beautiful sound, a harmony. Each one gives into the other moisture and life. Just across 6b. Shiva Sanefesh. This to me is one of the most moving sentences now that I ever saw in Rav Kook's writings. Shiras HaNefesh. There's the song of the soul. Shiras HaUma. There's the song of the nation. Shiras HaAdam. There's the song of mankind. Shiras HaOlam. There's the song of creation, of existence, of the world. Kulon Yachad Mizmazgais BeKirbo. They all fuse and harmonize together in this person. Netzadik Yisod Olam. Tzadik Yisod Olam. They all fuse together. B'chol Eis and B'chol Shah. That was Rav Kook. Every moment. V'atmimus Hazayis B'milua Oyle Hilyos Shiras Kodesh. And now there's a holy song. Shiras Kel. Now the song of God, which is the top of the ladder, which is everything, is Hashem. Shiras Yisrael. The song of Israel. B'oitzim Uzu V'sefarata. B'oitzim Amita V'godla. Yisrael is the word. The word Yisrael is Shir Kel. The name Yisrael that we have is Shir, the song of God. Shir Poshet. Because the Zohar talks about Shir Poshet means the simplest tune. Shir Kofel, the double song. Shir Meshulash. Shir Merubah, that has four parts. Shir HaShir Masher L'Shlomo L'Melech Shehasholem Shalom. And that is the meaning of Shir HaShir Masher L'Shlomo. Shchazal say Melech Shehasholem Shalom. Let me explain. Let's go back to Rabbi Akiva. Omer Rabbi Akiva, Ein Kolom Kol Akedai, Kiyam Shenit Mashir Hashirim. Right? Kiyam Shenit Mashir Hashirim. Kol Hashirim HaKadosh, V'Hashir Hashirim is Kadosh Kadosh. We're going to have to be very, very Makatsa now. The life of Rabbi Akiva which is one of the reasons why Rav Kook was so deeply in love with Rabbi Akiva. The life of Rabbi Akiva is the story of a person who was a Sulam Mutzav Arza in a very small way in his own life, and in the end was Reisha Megiya Shamayim. In the end he reached the highest place, the highest place of all. Because that Rabbi Akiva, who was stuck in his Madrega in that small place, the way that he broke out of that was the love story that he had with Rachel Bas Kalba Savur, which nobody else, we don't see this about anybody else in all of Shas and Chazal, where there's a description of how this simple shepherd who couldn't read or write, through the love that he had for this woman, and through the way that she helped him in that growth, that he was able to discover finally for the first time in his life something beyond himself and his little flock of sheep. And from there, like it's brought down, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh brings down from Reb Saad Yagaon, Mishloi Ta'am Ahavas Isha Miyomov, it's a very strong sentence. The Baal Shem Tov brings down from the Rebbe Saad Yagaon, that whoever never felt what it means to be in love with a woman, Yaksha Lov La'agil Ahavas Hashem, it'll be very hard for that person to ever love Hashem. Reb Saad Yagaon, someone who has never loved a woman will not know what it feels, cannot really get to that place of Ahavas Hashem. It's difficult, doesn't it? Can't. It's very, very difficult. So this is exactly the story of Rabbi Akiva. The Ahava begins in a tiny little chug, a tiny little circle of himself with this one woman, with Rav. Then from there, Rabbi Akiva was the one who taught that V'ahavta V'ahakam Aruch is what? Zeh? Kal Gadol B'Toyer. Rabbi Akiva went from his own little story with the love story of his wife, and he grew from that place to what? The love of Am Yisrael, first, L'Havdu Yachach Kamarich, loving another Jew, which is a Kal Gadol B'Toyer. He saw that as the great principle of Torah. Kol HaTorah Kula, like Hillel said with the Yigir. Because if you're going to be stuck in a tiny place and all you love is yourself, you'll never love God. Therefore, loving another person is the beginning of the climb, of the journey to loving everything and to loving Hashem. So when he said that, Zeh Kol HaTorah Kula, V'Havdu Yachach Kamarich, that's the Kol HaTorah Kula. It's the key to everything. It's the key to becoming a big person. It's the key to expansiveness. It's the key to rising that ladder to come to that place of Yahavta Hashem L'Kachol V'Chol Hanashkol Madecha. So Rabbi Akiva was able to jettison out of that world of himself into the world of love of Shir Hashirim, which is a love story between a Chas and a Kala, a prince and a princess. So Rabbi Akiva was the same one who taught that Shir Hashirim is Kodesh Kadoshim, right? Because Rabbi Akiva lived that himself. First, he was just in this tiny little place with himself, and then just a worker, and then he became with that. He fell in love with Rachel Bas Kalba Savua, and the Gemara is not embarrassed to talk about it in a very intimate way. And from there, he comes to Ahavas Yisrael, and he loved the Jewish people so much that he couldn't bear what was going on with the Romans and how we were being tortured and persecuted by the Romans and how the Bessam Mikdash v'chulu v'chulu. So then from there, Rabbi Akiva came from not just V'ahav V'echa Kamaicha, so then he came to lead the Jewish people in the war against the Romans until finally he was killed al Kiddush Hashem. And when he was killed al Kiddush Hashem, he said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Akeinu Hashem Echad, and Yosan Nishmoso Be'echad, and that's the Echad of Yosan Nishmoso Be'echad. And that same Rabbi Akiva taught the Kol Hashirim HaKadosh, all songs are holy. Because every song means that you're expanding, you're growing out of yourself. Get out of the Shiras HaNefesh, but get to the Shira of the other person, and Shiras Yisrael, and Shiras Shir Kel, the song of all existence and the song of Hashem, which is Shir Hashirim Asher L'Shlomo L'Melech Shah Shalom Shalom. So what Rabbi Akiva saw himself was the opening, the wrenching open of that emotional world of the other. And from that opening of the other to the other, he was able to grow until he became Rabbi Akiva, Asher Yotzeh Nishmos HaBechad. And that same Rabbi Akiva is the one who said that Shir Hashirim, you're not getting rid of Shir Hashirim. You're not putting it in the Geniza, you're not putting it into the Aron Kodesh somewhere on the bottom. Shir Hashirim is Kodesh Kadosh. Because just like Shir Hashirim means that from a simple love of a shepherd for a woman, a person's heart can open to love of others, a family, and all the way up to Hashem, the same way that a person can climb that ladder, I did that, Rabbi Akiva says. And every Jew can do that, and Shir Hashirim is the opening. Because even a simple person like myself was able to get beyond myself through that place. And therefore we have a place on earth that's called Kodesh Kadoshim. And Kodesh Kadoshim is where heaven and earth meet. And all you have over there is a rack, a big stone. But that stone is the point where creation begins. And that's the same thing when it comes to Ahava, to love. Like Rav Dessler said, when you begin to give, when you begin to get out of yourself, you begin to become a nice saint, then you begin to nurture that Ahava where heaven and earth were something which is so mundane. Shir HaShirim is about a guy and a girl running around in the vineyard and how much they love each other. It's a story that the others were embarrassed. How are we going to put this in Tanakh? How are we going to explain this to people, what this means? That's about Hashem and Am Yisrael, about the love story that grows from simple things. But as long as you begin to grow in that way and move out of yourself, then you come to the highest place of Shir HaShirim, Asher L'Shem. Now we can understand what time is supposed to be our Rav Shammai. Huh?
1:30-ish.
He's okay with that.
He has a son too.
Yeah. Now we can understand an amazing sentence that's found in Rav Kook Siddur, Chelik Beis, page 305, which you don't have. It's not here. But first, look at the beginning of 7, just the first sentence. Ukamaisha Mishu Chamer La'ava La'yochush. Just that sentence. A person who doesn't know what it means to love another, when he looks at love songs and love poems, he only sees in it disgusting things. He sees ugly things. He makes it into something which is pornographic. But when a person knows a great person knows what ahav is, he sees that it's that sulam that's mutzavar, so v'roishim megiyah shemayim to the highest place. Now listen to this sentence. You don't have it in front of you. He says we cannot bear the love, the powerful, great love of Shir HaShirim that is revealed. Of Shir HaShirim b'Shvuas, mechorachim lahastev as God layikar beros. I'm sorry. Eif shal lizbol saor shal Shir HaShirim. The light of Shir HaShirim is so powerful that we read on Pesach that we can't. The light is too much. So what do we do? Mechorachim lahastev as God layikar beros. We have to cover the preciousness and the power of that energy of Shir HaShirim when we read the book of Rus on Shavuos. So Pesach is the beginning of the love story, right? That's when we fell in love with Hashem. We went with love, we fell in love with Hashem, we went with him to the desert. But Rav Kook says that love story of Pesach would never ever add up to anything without the book of Rus, without Shavuos. Because Pesach is all about being free, it's the spring, you're in love. It's very Shir HaShirim, you know? It's beautiful. It's about being in love. It's about getting outside of yourself. It's the beginning of being free. It's Man Chayu Sinu, because you're free of that terrible, small world that you're stuck in. So Shir HaShirim is the beginning. But Rav Kook says, the light of Shir HaShirim is very powerful. That love, you have to be very careful, because if it's left in that place, it's never, ever going to add up to anything. But then when we come to Shavuos, then we read the book of Rus. Why? Because Shavuos is when Hashem gave us the Torah. And Shavuos is when Hashem said to us, Chevra, you want to love me? Start doing things for me. You want to love me? Then Shir HaShirim is nice. I we're in love. It's beautiful. Kumzitz, love. Everything's gevaldik. We love each other. We're in love. That's Shir HaShirim. That's Pesach. But if you're not going to keep Shabbos, if you're not going to put on tefillin, if you're not going to keep mitzvahs, you could talk about Jewish identity from the Hatmas Morgan, about how much you love God and you love the Jewish people, all that stuff. Shavuos is when you began to work for God. We took responsibility, goes back to Shabbos HaGadol. Achrayus. It's nice to be in love. Where's your achrayus for the one that you love? You love your community, where's your achrayus for the community? You love your shul, what achrayus do you take for the shul? You have to call you 7 times to give the money. Where's your achrayus for the shul? Where's your achrayus for the community? Where's your achrayus for Am Yisrael? What's the achrayus? Shavuos is Kabbalah's achrayus. Therefore, we read the book of Rus. In the book of Rus, is not about people being in love. It's about hard work. It's about people who did the right thing because it was the right thing to do. It's what Naomi and what Rus did for Naomi, what Naomi did for Rus, and what Boaz did for both of them. And that world of a woman who left Moab, and that from that place of the lowest place on earth, which is a Sulam Mutzav Arta, which is more the lowest place on earth, what came from that? Rosh Yibigin HaShemayim Adovid Malki Mashiach Adovid Mel. Comes from that lowest place, Mamish, to that lowest place, we come to the highest, highest place of Adovid Malki Mashiach, because Shavuos means stop being selfish. Stop singing just your own song. Start to sing the song of other Jews. Merchavim, merchavim. Begin to expand. And in our relationship with God, every time that we do something for Him, anything that we push ourselves, not that it's easy. You know, somebody says, you know, he loves doing this, and he loves a niggin, and he loves, you know, whatever. He loves the stuff that we love doing in Yiddishkeit. How much do you push yourself to take responsibility to do things in Yiddishkeit that you don't love? that are hard for you. That's the story of Ruth. Push yourself to do things that you don't love. And from that comes Mashiach. From that comes Mashiach. It seems so unromantic. It seems anti-romantic. But from there comes Mashiach. Because la'asher yitain ye'ehad. When you invest, when you give, when you moisten nefesh, then the love begins to unfold. The love comes. Now I was promising you something shocking at the end, right? Turn the page. We're not going to read all of it. We should. But we're not going to. Even the title seems so weird. That, of course, is a picture of Habakkuk when he was actually in America, that picture. Based upon the time of the year and where that was, it was in Washington, D.C. It was probably the weather like it is today outside. And Rav Kook was, as you see, dressed the way that he dressed in Yerushalayim. That must have been a scene. Because no one in America, even there were no chassidim, no one wore this stuff. You see, there's the old car behind. That's when he used that year that he was in America. Just a couple of sentences here and there, and we'll call it a chatzos. Chassidus Beis Avraham. Okay, now I heard about this from a Polish Yid here in Yerushalayim around 20 years ago. And I said, this is not true. Show me some epis. Show me something. What are you talking about? So this Jew told me that he remembers that he lived in Lodz. And in Lodz, there was a Rav Kook Shtiebel. I said, what are you talking about? When was there a Rav Kook Shtiebel? He said, there was a Shtiebel in Lodz where they were Chassidim of Rav Kook. I said, Rav Kook is not a Rebbe. So what do you mean they were Chassidim of Rav Kook? He said, I wasn't part of that. He said, I was a kid. But my uncle was very, very connected to that. And he used to go daven by this place. Because he knew that I like Rav Kook. And so he said, there's a Chassidus of Rav Kook. So I thought, whatever, I don't know what he's talking about. I never looked into it, and I left it. And I saw this article. How did I see this? Yeah, I remember. And I was in SSL 2 summers ago. There was, you know, Friday here, they leave a lot of booklets on their benches and shul. Okay, so they have some good stuff. There's a lot of good stuff. So this is in the one that's called Karov. Huh? I forgot. Anyway, it's a very good thing they put out here every week, the Chevron. Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, it was a couple years ago. That's when I found it on the bench. There was a Chassidus of Rav Kook in Poland. That's where we're putting the trip together. There was a Chassidus of Rav Kook in Poland. What this article is about, and you can read it at your own leisure, or it's Israeli-Hebrew, so I don't know how many of you are comfortable with that, and maybe we can do it later on, but this article is absolutely fascinating. There were a group of Talmid Chacham Chassidim. Now, of course, most of the Talmid of Kook saw him as being the continuation of the Vilna Gaon, which in many ways he was. But you know, there was the other side of Rav Kook. It was a continuation of Chabad and the Baal Shem. So there was this Jew, the second prayer of there, Reb Shmuel Chaim Landau, Migdoyle Chassidus Sokol of Kotsk, who was a Zionist chassid there in Poland, which there were many. I mean, they dressed like regular Chassidim, but they supported very much the need of going back to Eretz Yisrael. Sipa shigi parm lodunim Rav Kook, and my rabbi is Rav Kook. So this person met Rav Kook, and he discussed in Yoni HaKlal. When he left Rav Kook's presence, this chassid, this kotzker, left Rav Kook's presence for Amar, and he said, we have a big Rebbe over here, but we don't know how to become his chassidim. So what did this person do? So he began to go to different places, and the writings of Rav Kook began to spread, and a group formed that was called, they called themselves Beis Avram. And they call the Chassidus of Beis Avram Yitzchak. Beis Avram is Rav Kook. Chassidus Rav Kook. And they joined together. You see the last line over there? Hikimu lahem shtiblach mishalahem. They put up some shtiblach. Behem isachdu betfilah. And they davened alpim and hagim shavav. They davened nusach svar. But they filed him in Hogam, and they send letters to Rav Kook asking him different things, questions. Velomdu is Teresov. You know there's a shtiebel in Williamsburg that does that too? So we have some friends from there.
He says, Hashoah Mechak is Zecha Chassidus.
A lot that happened in the Holocaust erased many of the things that we know about Chassidus, this Chassidus.
Aval b'shonim achrenish is galum masmechim v'sipurim sheshofchu or asipur shechadisa bilti mukaris.
But over the past few years, there have been some research, and they have found some things about this Chassidus. They have a picture of Beis Avram in Lodz. That's not the whole shul. They had nishtiblech. Each shtiblech had 80 people, 100 people, 150 people, and they were growing before the war, crazy by leaps and bounds. These shtiblech, they were getting new places to daven. Four shtiblech. This is a picture of the chevra in Lodz.
Now, what the rest of this is about is how the guy's trying to convince Rav Kook to become a rebbe. That didn't work. He said, I want to start. Look at the left side. There's so much good stuff here. It's chaval. Look at the left side. You'll read it yourselves. Lobakalus his skim, the left column, the last column. Lobakalus his skim Rav Kook la kabel atzm liyoslad more.
It wasn't easy to get Rav Kook. Huh? Okay,
this is the last. Hagon of Kasvil, Tchur Shayim Mekimi Beis Avram. He was one of the in Poland. Kshol Eretz Bishnas Tov Reisgim. They gave a letter from the Chassidim, which is Megillas Klafel Babak Bakosha Rishmas Shekabel of Lios Admor.
The Chassidim came, a group came, and they made a special prayer to Israel, and they presented a klaf with a whole nusach there, accepting upon themselves, like Chassidim do, accepting upon themselves, Rav Kook to be our Admor, to be our Rebbe.
They gave this his takalber Rav Kook. He looked at this and he said, "Atem iktartem ayseh b'tor admi you and crowned me a rebbe. Lo admor enoch, I'm not a rebbe. Ulam ani sameach sheshmi koshim beis mikdash ma. I'm happy that my name is connected to a holy place. Shemabitzim b'tor v'yira v'yichel ki imachem.
Now all you have to say to Chassidim is those words, v'yichel ki imachem, which is a nice way of saying, it's great, guys. Go ahead. But then they like went and it's the whole thing over here. They mamish. They would go from Poland to Israel to go visit him, and they would have kinusim and then by the yard side, and there was mamash, this chassidus that they made that was called Beis Avram of those Jews in that place of darkness that we were just in those last moments before the explosion of Hitler and Yimach Shemo, that were there at that place. They were there at that place. So by us going through that and coming to this place, we're saying to Rav Kook, Merchavim, we're Jews that are also looking for expanses in our lives. Hashem Zvach should help us find them, and we should join together all with all of Klal Yisrael, the Gula Shabbat Mitis, Mehev Yomeinu Amen V'Amen.